Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, June the 24th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we've been speaking to shop owners in Broadstairs following a weekend of violence. Plus, we have an update on that from police. Concerns have also been raised about antisocial behaviour in Herne Bay. And we chat to the man who oversees the police in Kent on heritage crime in the county. But first today, the parents of a girl who was raped by three strangers in Dover have spoken out after the men were found guilty following a trial. A court heard how the child was plied with drugs and assaulted by the group after they came across her in a supermarket car park. Well, last week, Slovakian nationals 26-year-old Kevin Horvath and 38-year-old Ivan Turtak from Dover and Ernest Gunner, who's 27 and from Folkestone, were all convicted. They're due to be sentenced in September. Now, the victim's mum and dad have spoken exclusively to Kent Online. We're not identifying them in order to protect their daughter's anonymity. They spoke to our reporter, Lauren Abbott, who joins me now. Lauren, this is the most horrendous case, and the couple have revealed to you the toll it's taken on the entire family.
Yes, Nicola, it really is the most horrendous case. The family say they're living every parent's worst nightmare, and I'm not sure there's anything maybe more accurate than that. And actually, I think even as a journalist, it's been a bit of a struggle to try and find the right words to convey what the family have gone through at the hands of these three men. It's perhaps no surprise, and it's very clear from having sat down with them, that the toll this has taken on both the girl's mum and dad, as much as their daughter, of course, is absolutely immense. But they've been so focused on the trial and ensuring that there was justice for their child. I think last week's guilty verdicts perhaps hopefully bring a little bit of peace to them now. And after the sentencing hearing in September, they'll hopefully be able to start thinking about how they can possibly begin to move on from what has been the most awful ordeal.
And they also told you how their daughter wasn't allowed to wander the streets, making this even more horrific.
Exactly that. Her mum and dad say they've always been really cautious as parents, maybe even strict, and didn't really agree with her just being the sort of child that was out and about for the sake of it. They say she wasn't ever allowed to wander by herself very far, maybe a trip to the local park, or she'd be dropped into town to meet friends for a shopping trip. But they're adamant, and they really insist that there were always pre-agreed times she had to be home or be dropped and collected by an adult. And of course, having been that cautious, that's left them confronting these events with real disbelief, really.
Now, during the trial, the court heard how the girl was held for 48 hours before managing to escape. What did they say about that and how she's been since?
Yes, the three men held her for 48 hours. The girl told the court she escaped through an open window of a car when it stopped and one of them got out, which left her by herself. Her mum says she thinks that her daughter was exceptionally brave to do that. And I think, of course, as any adult, we'd probably have to agree with the courage that that would have taken. But yes, there's no denying that the experience has sadly had a profound impact. Her parents say after the attack she struggled to sleep. She would drag her bedding into their room for comfort because she didn't want to be alone. And she's gone from being, you know, quite a confident child to someone who's much more wobbly, her mum said, more fearful, doesn't really want to leave the house without an adult. And of course, that's all really understandable. But it's a very traumatic experience for her parents, of course, to watch their child go through something like that.
Lauren, thank you ever so much. You can also read that story in full by heading to the website. Horvath, Turtak and Gunner are due back in court to be sentenced on September the 12th.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's been fined after visiting his former partner's home in Margate despite being banned from going there. Jason Alger had been issued with what's called a domestic violence protection order earlier this month amid reports of an assault. Now, the 46-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, told magistrates he didn't realise it was still in place as there was no case brought against him. 22,000 illegal vapes have been seized from shops in Medway. A ban on single-use vapes came into force at the start of the month. Trading Standards and police have been out in the towns to check if stores are still trying to sell them. A skate park in Dover has been closed for repairs after being targeted by vandals. Holes have been made in the ramps at the facility in Pencester Gardens. It's not known when it might reopen, but you can see pictures of the damage by heading to the website. And five people have been arrested after violence broke out in Margate over the weekend. Police were called to the High Street on Saturday following reports of an assault. One person was taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A 32-year-old man remains in custody. Four others have been released on bail. Now, next today, police have told us a perfect storm led to antisocial behaviour in Broadstairs at the weekend. weekend. It's thought a number of young people from other parts of Kent headed to the town after the end of GCSE exams, which coincided with the hot weather. But fights broke out and footage online shows a restaurant being smashed up and staff threatened. Debbie Yates works at Suzanne's on Victoria Parade. The window at their shop was also smashed.
This causes a lot of damage. It causes, obviously, we're going to have a new window replaced. We can't show half of our window stock. Yeah, obviously, it's had to be boarded up and we've got to get somebody out to fix it. So, yeah, it's a big deal for us.
How much do you think that's going to cost you guys?
Oh, I haven't got a clue. We're just in the middle of getting quotes now. So we really don't know at this moment in time.
And is this something that you could afford to repair?
Well, not really, but we haven't got any choice.
Do you think the police did a good job over the weekend?
I think they did a marvellous job. We have never seen such police presence in Broadstairs. It kicked off all over the weekend and the police were brought in. They come in their droves, which was absolutely brilliant. And I will also say, the incident with our door and Sardinia, they'd actually caught the perpetrator within a half an hour to an hour, which was great. But yes, the police have done their absolute utmost today. We did hear that Transport Police were up at the train station yesterday stopping the groups from coming down.
This is going to mean for tourism here in Broadstairs. You know, we saw those attacks. It's been all over the tabloids. What do you think it's going to mean?
It's going to stop people from coming down. Broadstairs is the jewel in the crown of the Thanet, and it's going to stop people from coming down. It really will do some damage. It's putting people off already. People are saying, you know, we can't come back. And of course, it's the tourists and the students alike that help bring big income to our town.
A dispersal order was put in place on Friday afternoon for 48 hours. That gives police some extra powers to break up groups of people. Councillor John Nichols represents Viking Ward in the town.
I think it's absolutely disastrous what's gone on. It's disastrous for the town, the visitors, businesses, and for those taking part, really, because this is almost feral behaviour. Behaviour beyond what I've ever seen and what we've witnessed in Broadstairs before.
Why was this allowed to happen? What do you think was the cause?
I don't think it was ever allowed to happen. It happened. Like we see riots all over the world, in London and other places, they spring up from almost nowhere. And they become very disruptive, very nasty, and we need to put a stop to it.
How do you do that?
Good, very, very good question, because when you've got 200 or 300 youths running basically riot, whatever police force or security you bring in, and we do have a very good security team here in Broadstairs, who look after our beaches, seafronts, parks, etc. 4, 8 or 10 people isn't going to make a difference. You know, they put a uniform on, and that uniform in this day and age doesn't mean anything. We're not far, if we're not careful, and if we don't get to grips with this, we're not far from having a fatality from the pictures that I saw at the weekend.
Now, some of you in the comments at Kent Online are saying enforcement officers should be given more powers to confiscate alcohol and drugs. Others have even suggested that armed patrols are on the beaches. Well, let's get an update from police then. Chief Inspector Ian Swallow is the Thanet District Commander.
The incidents were mainly involving younger people. We believe those that have travelled down from other parts of Kent clashing with local individuals and it resulted in fights and an attack on a restaurant in our town. As a result, Kent Police uplifted our resources over the weekend. We put in place special powers, including a dispersal power and a search power, to deal with the incidents. Despite that additionality of resources, we had a number of further incidents on the beach. So 5 arrests have been made so far. People have been dispersed using the powers, and we are now continuing to investigate those incidents by gathering all the information we have to take action against the perpetrators.
Has anyone been charged?
So we've made 5 arrests so far, 3 arrests from the incident at the restaurant and two further arrests involving disorder incidents on the beach over the weekend. One person has been charged so far. The rest have been released on bail whilst investigations continue.
And just to confirm, the person who's been charged is an under 18, we understand?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
I've been talking to some businesses here, some locals in Broadstairs today. Usually has the reputation of a sleepy postcard Kent coastal village, but this weekend it was the complete opposite, something they say they haven't really ever seen before. Why do we think we saw so much antisocial behaviour this weekend?
Well, as you say, Broadstairs is a beautiful town, and when things like this happen in a town like Broadstairs, it hits harder because it's not expected and it's very, very much against what normally happens here. We're looking into the reasons why it's suddenly escalated. I think our first reaction is that there's a number of things that have come together almost in a perfect storm. So the weather was very, very hot over the weekend. The teenagers had finished their GCSEs this week and they were out enjoying themselves, which of course they're perfectly entitled to do so. But then we had a certain element who decided to come into our town, affect our businesses and clash with other individuals here, intent on destroying this peaceful place for other people.
Well, we're only really at the start of the summer holidays. Still, where are we? Probably about 10 weeks, probably till they all go back to school or something like that. Could be warm over the summer, could have fun weekends. What would your message be to those young teenagers, but also their parents, if they are thinking of coming down here and actually causing havoc?
So the message to anyone who's intent on coming down to any of our Thanet towns, Margate, Rabsgate or Broadstairs, and causing problems for other people is very, very strong. It's do not come. If you're coming here to cause issues, we don't want you here. But if you do come and you do cause issues, we will take action against you in the strongest possible terms. And to the parents of the individuals who have come down and caused problems, is we want you to take responsibility for the actions of your children. Do you know where they are? Do you know what they're doing? And if you've seen them online, what are you doing about it? Because we need to work together to solve this. This isn't just a problem for Kent Police. This is a problem for all our community to work together to make it better.
Thanks ever so much to Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV who is asking the questions there. And you can still let us know what you think by leaving a comment in the stories. Just click on the Thanet pages of Kent Online. Moving to another part of the coast now. And the podcast has been told that antisocial behaviour in Herne Bay has got so bad, there's going to be a public meeting about it tonight. Police and councillors are due to face questions from fed up residents and business owners. It's been organised by councillor Dan Watkins. I've been chatting to him and asked what the main issues are.
Examples of what's been happening is just a surge of antisocial behaviour, people terrorising residents in residential blocks, you know, banging on the communal front doors, making threats, through to going into a lot of the shops on the high street and seafront, and not just shoplifting but threatening people, being abusive, ranging all the way through to in Memorial Park, our lovely park in the centre of Herne Bay, people with catapults, would you believe, catapulting wildlife like ducks. A duck died, you know, it's against people, it's against nature, and there's a lot of it, sadly.
We've also heard, Dan, about people on e-scooters kind of tearing up and down the roads along the seafront. It sounds as well from the description like they're almost wearing a uniform, all of them, a lot of them in black with their faces covered. I mean, that in itself can be pretty intimidating, can't it?
Yeah, and you got to ask, why are people wanting to wear those kind of clothes when it's 30 degrees and sunny? You know, it is intimidating for people. And I think in a way, Nicola, that's, you know, one of the worst aspects of this is now that people, particularly vulnerable people and older people, they're nervous to come out at certain times of day and in the evening to walk around our lovely seaside town. I think it is deliberate by these individuals and these gangs to really kind of terrorise parts of the town.
And of course, you mentioned there, we've had some spectacular weather. I think we're in for quite a good summer. You'll want people visiting Herne Bay. So is it quite key that you kind of nip this problem in the bud now so it doesn't affect the tourism?
Yeah, it is. It is. You're quite right. You know, we're really a month away now from absolute peak holiday season, but we're already getting a lot of people here. And look, but councillors might themselves, we don't want to sort of have to have meetings like this, because it's not a happy topic, and it also doesn't cast our town in the best possible light. But we must respond, and I think what's happening is that, you know, as a councillor, I've been making inquiries on behalf of residents and businesses who are suffering from this crime. And I'm finding out that there is action being taken by council officers, by the police, but most people don't know about it. And the question is it enough? But also, what can the community do to come forward and develop solutions with the police? And how can we transfer the information to make sure the police know everything's going on? So that's the backdrop to having this meeting. And as you rightly say, I think with a really good, positive meeting, some great ideas, and people from the meeting going off and doing things, principally the police and the council, I think we can get things back on track before the peak holiday season starts.
Well, police say that they do have a team in the town dedicated to tackling the problem. The meeting is going to be in the King's Hall tonight from 6 p.m.
Kent Online reports.
A woman's been taken to hospital after being injured while jumping into the sea in Sheerness. It happened at Neptune Jetty near Marine Parade on Sunday. She suffered a broken ankle, prompting a warning about jumping into water when you don't know how deep it is, or something known as tombstoning. A new build block of flats in Gillingham is being investigated. This is actually one of our most read stories on the website today. Concerns were first raised about the building on the corner of Jeffrey Street and James Street when pictures emerged showing a lamppost, would you believe, sticking through one of the balconies. You can head to the website today to see that image again. Well, Medway Council bosses have confirmed issues with the appearance and quality of the development are now being looked into. Elsewhere, plans for a new 180-home estate in Ashford are going to be discussed again, despite being rejected. The idea is to build properties on farmland next to a perfume factory close to the M20. It was turned down by 7 councillors to 4, but the decision has been deferred so planning officers can gather more information on flooding and road issues. Now, next today, the man who oversees the police in Kent has been giving us a bit of an update on how they're tackling so-called heritage crime. You may remember that we covered in a previous episode of the podcast a high-profile theft of 2 First World War memorial plaques from a church in the Luton part of Chatham last month. They were, thankfully, eventually recovered. However, one was very badly damaged. And in that case, 8 men have been arrested. Now, the most recent figures show that 655 crimes were recorded on church property in Kent between 2022 and 2024. That includes 429 thefts, of which 15 relate to lead, and 159 cases of criminal damage. Well, Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott has been chatting to our reporter Sean Delaney.
Well, our heritage is really important because it's the history of our county. These are things which are important to our heritage, our culture, our history. And to steal or to damage it is exceptionally harmful because some of these things just could not be replaced. So it's really important, like we are doing in Kent, to respond to heritage crime seriously so that people can have faith that our heritage is being protected.
Yeah, and with regards to, as you mentioned, compared to something, someone steals a car or, quite a high value item, it can be replaced. And obviously it's very damaging to the victims in those cases. But where it's irreplaceable and it steals from everyone, not just a private individual, it steals from people at large. Do you think it needs to be treated differently in any ways? Is there a way that law enforcement perhaps have to look into it in different ways in order to clamp down on it?
Well, every crime is important. Even the theft of a car can be important to that individual because you don't know what value that item necessarily places on them as well. So it's really important that no matter where crime takes place, whether it's in an urban area or it's a rural area, whether it's residential burglary or whether it's a heritage burglary, that you have the exact same first class response to both. And Kent Police's response is to, with regards to heritage crime, a lot of it is burglary and thefts. They attend every single burglary. They will look for forensic opportunities. They do things like property marking with different businesses and venues to make sure that we are taking as many steps as we possibly can to try and prevent crime from happening in the first place. And there is a Heritage Watch network that you can join in Kent if this is something that people are interested in, which includes organisations like Historic England and Kent Police and others. So we are taking this seriously, and it's important that we respond seriously so that perpetrators know that we are going to be on their case, but also that the victims get confidence that the police is acting in their best interest.
Kent Online reports.
Pizza Hut in Rochester has been forced to close following a fire. Crews were called to the High Street store after a blaze in the chiller over the weekend. It's not clear yet when it's going to reopen. A 28-mile stretch of a coastal path around England is being officially opened on Sheppey. It forms part of a 2,700-mile route named in honour of King Charles. We're told the new section will have stunning views across the Swale and Medway estuaries. It'll head through Queenborough Harbour and two nature reserves. Plans have been put in to develop a glamping site near Gravesend. If approved, it would include seven pods and retreats, along with four barrel saunas at East Court Farm in Chalk. We're told people could stay there for short breaks and at weekends. And finally, two bears have escaped from the sister site of a Kent animal park in Devon. We're told Mission Lucy went straight to the food store and ate a week's worth of honey. They were back in their enclosure within an hour, but Wildwood Trust say they are investigating.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is due in action at the Eastbourne Open today. The British number one from Orpington is taking on American Ann Lai. Last year, she reached the quarterfinals of the competition and could face Wimbledon runner-up Ange Jabeur in the second round. On to cricket, and it's the final day of the opening test between England and India. Kent Zach Crawley will be starting the day on 12 not out in England's second innings at Headingley. They need another 350 runs to win the game. We'll have details on the result of that one in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. It's also day three of Kent's County Championship match against Lancashire. The home side were due to resume on 120 for one in their first innings in Blackpool. It's after Kent posted a score of 374. And in football, former Gillingham head coach Stephen Clements has taken on a role at Blackpool. He's joining the backroom staff at the League One side, linking up with former Gills player Steve Bruce, who's manager there. The pair have previously worked together at Aston Villa, Hull City and Newcastle. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.